Father, I thank you, Lord. As always, as we gather together, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now let that light shine this morning into our hearts, dispelling every darkness, every doubt, every trace of unbelief, or every trace, oh God, of up and down in our hearts. You said that anyone that is up and down, wavering like that, will not receive anything from you. And let our minds be steady in you today. Claim all the promises of God that you have given us. We give you, Lord, the praise, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, let's see what we've been talking about this week. Exceeding great and precious promises to make us partakers of the divine nature. You know, all manner of promises for guidance, you know, for leading, for healing, for protection for our children. And last couple of days we've been talking about, you know, generational blessings, you know, still part of that, but, you know, the promises of God over our children and the blessings that he passes to the children from the fathers. And yesterday we talked about, you know, from a yet another angle on the fathers to the children, but spiritually speaking, from God to us through Christ Jesus the Lord. So, what we inherit in Christ, the nature of God, what we inherit in Christ also, the priesthood. He has an everlasting priesthood, unchangeable, and he has committed unto us priesthood as well. For he has made us kings and priests, we shall reign over the earth, we're told. And so a lot of benefits we talked about being, you know, joint heirs with Christ. And Christ sharing with us, conferring upon us all of the glory that he had with the Father from the beginning, as he said, you know. So many things that we talked about in those regards, you know. So today I want to cover more of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself concerning some promises that he dished out, and how we can see, you know, all the benefits that the Lord has for us as we trust in him. Praise the Lord. Now, let's review quickly one small portion of what we said yesterday about being joint heirs, you know, with Christ. And the scripture talks about in the book of Romans, you know, we see that we are called the children of God. The book of Romans chapter 8, it says that we are children of God, and therefore if we are children, that makes us heirs. But Christ was an heir before us, you know, so it makes us joint heirs. So let's read that one verse again in the book of, you know, Romans chapter 8, verse 17. But I'll start it from verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, so this is the argument, if you are children, then you are heirs of God, you know, heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So what he had, we had also. But remember, we are also joint heirs with his sufferings. The sufferings of Christ, we are called to be partakers of the same. Listen to this in Philippians, you know, chapter 1 and verse 29. He says, you know, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, yeah, but also to suffer for his sake. Yeah, it's given to us like that, you know. So we must believe in the Lord, right? Believe all his promises, claim everything. But, you know, we suffer for him as well. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. I mean, but if we deny him, well, that's an unfortunate situation because he may also deny us. But let's pray that the Lord give us the grace to stand strong and remember that Jesus entered this glory that he promised us, well, through sufferings. In fact, you know, he said, don't you know, you know, in Luke chapter 24, after his resurrection, and he met two disciples, they were told that they were on the road to this place called Emmaus. And as they went, they were talking, you know, about, you know, the things that happened this weekend. And he joined himself to them and said, what things are you talking about? And they were talking about how Christ is crucified and all these things, and how they thought that he should, you know, risen again and so forth, and how some people went there and couldn't find him and all these things. And Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then to enter into his glory? So we see that this glory that was promised us of Christ, he himself got it by suffering many things. And so, you know, it's incumbent on us that we also must suffer for Christ. There is no way around it. The road to glory is through sufferings for Christ. Jesus said, if they've done these things in a green tree, well, what are they going to do in a dry? No disciple is above his master. If that's how Jesus got there, well, that's how we are going to get there as well. It's just, there's no way around it. You know, so we understand, you know, that the Lord wants to give us this glory. In fact, he imputed it unto us, but we must also understand that with the glory that comes certain responsibilities, you know, and those responsibilities are for us to suffer for Christ sometimes. I mean, it's not that we're going out there looking for suffering, but we don't, you know, we don't deny, we don't back down, we don't shy when it comes. We receive, we embrace when it comes. We don't go out looking for it, but we embrace it when it comes. And he says, all that we live godly in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. If you would live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. Yeah, persecution because of your stand in Christ. And sometimes we may lose certain things because of that, but you gain even more. Jesus said there is no one that has lost this or that or the other thing that will not gain more, not only in the world to come, but even here. You know, again, I mean, if you lose father or mother because of your faith, they kicked you out. Look at all the brethren that you now get in Christ. As Jesus himself said, well, you know, who are my brother or sister or mother and so on. You know, these ones that, you know, hear the word of God and keep them. Yeah. So, and persecution comes with all of that. In order for us to get into glory, we can't, you know. And sometimes, you know, the devil will, you know, attack your faith, you know, and attack your, a lot of things. You know, in our lives, we saw how the devil attacked Job. I mean, for no reason other than the fact that God was blessing Job. And he came and told God, well, you know, God said, well, have you seen my servant Job? There is no one like him, a man that loves God and echoeth evil, and so on. None like him in his generation. And Satan said, but of course, you know, because you have blessed him, giving him peace all around, and you have increased him and blessed the work of his hands, and you've caused a shield around him. Why would he not, you know, fear God and do all these things? But put now your hand forth and destroy all these things that he has. Take them away from him, and he will crush you to your face. You know, the Lord said, well, we'll see about that. And so Job entered into that contest between the Lord and Satan without even knowing that he was a trophy in that contest. God saying that no, he will hold the integrity of his heart. The devil saying, of course, he will deny you. But we saw that the Lord was with Job and he stood his ground. And we must stand our ground no matter what comes. And sometimes it's direct persecution. Sometimes it's all kinds of problems that devil throw at you. Whatever it is, we got to stand. You know, however, there are some promises that we can lay hold on to help us navigate through the journey, when, especially around the things that the devil tries to throw at us. Now, when persecution, direct persecution arises because of our faith in Christ, God's not going to remove that. You know, because we have been told that we must suffer persecution. However, when trouble comes that enemy tries to bring, those ones we can ward off by our faith in the promises of God. You know, there may be, you know, many tribulations. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33 that, you know, there are many things that we may face while we are here, but that we should be of good cheer because we have the victory through him. He got the victory on our behalf. So we also have victory through him. You know, he says, these things are spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. See, now in the world ye shall have tribulation. He put it out there, you know. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. The tribulation, the things that we go through, they cannot get the better of us. They cannot. But Jesus already said, I've overcome the world on your behalf. You know, and here are some promises that we can use to get even more victory and a better life overall. You know, better quality of living overall. You know, it's not for those persecutions, those will be there, but other things, you know, sometimes the devil just blocks our way and different things, or try to bring, you know, oppression and sickness and this and that. You know, these promises we can use to navigate our way. So I'm going to read through some of them. I call them powerful all-encompassing promises. In other words, they cover. Remember how we've always spoken from time to time that you should find specific promises for what you are believing God for? Okay, well, some of these are catch-all promises. You know, they just cover everything. You know, so you can find specific promises about healing. You can find specific promises about protection, guidance and leading, peace and rest, assurance. We've dealt about all these promises this week. But then here is, I want to wrap this up with just some overall, you know, promises. You could cover anything, you know, praise God. Well, let's look at one of them so you get the flavor for what I'm talking about. For instance, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, I call it the ASK rule. A is for ask, S is for seek, and K is for knock. And ASK spells ask. So Jesus says, when you are asking, you may have to do three types of things. But it covers a lot of things. He says, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say ask for healing or ask for this or ask for that. It's just a generic ask. So we see that this covers a lot of things. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now listen to this. Verse 8. For everyone. Now this is the part that I like the most. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Are you kidding me? Well, Jesus said that. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. How do you use this? Well, I learned this as a young man many years ago. I started repeating one day when I found this verse, especially this verse 8, I started repeating it to myself that, wow, everyone that asks, I receive it. Well, that means if I ask, I receive, you know, and I use that, you know, to, you know, boost up my own faith, you know, say, well, I know I've received, so let me look for the answer. Praise the Lord, you know. And so that's how it works. Everyone that asks it, if you know you've received a delivery, then you go out and look for it, you know. The last few days, and you know, from time to time, I order something, Amazon or whatever, and they deliver it. And I'm, you know, out there looking for it. Sometimes they hide it behind a pillar or this and that. You know, we have some chairs outside. Sometimes they put it underneath and so on. But they, you know, they'll tell you your item has been delivered. And then you got to go look for it. You know, but if you look and you don't see it, but you know it's been delivered, then you look some more because you know it's been delivered. And there was a time that, you know, this was before they started to take photos and show it to you. Even at that time, they would just say, well, you just get a note that your item has been delivered. And I, that particular day, they did not put it in front of the house. They put it in the mailbox for some reason. I think they contracted in this particular case with USPS. And so I was looking in the front of the house just like I would normally look, but it wasn't there. But I knew I had it, so I kept looking. Praise God. So that's how it works. Eventually, I figured out that it might be in the mailbox. I went there and I found it there. So when you know that Jesus says that if you ask, you receive, then if you ask and it looks like you didn't receive, then you keep looking. You keep seeking because maybe you are looking in the wrong place. Maybe I was looking at on the front porch instead of in the mailbox or whatever, you know. So this is how these promises help us. They look simple, but that's how it works. If you knock, the door shall be opened. Triple action faith. Ask, seek, and knock. And Jesus backed that up by saying, look, those of you who are fathers, if your son or child should ask of you for a stone, are you going to give him, ask of you for bread. Are you going to give him a stone? He said, no. If he asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? He said, no. If he asks you for fish, will you give him a snake or a serpent? He said, no. What? You who are evil by nature know how to do good things to your children. How much more your heavenly father? You know, so, but I often tell people that, look, when you go to God, ask for bread. Don't ask for something. You know, the boy who asks his father for something and the father gives him a stone, the father would be in his right to do that because the boy asked for something. He didn't ask for bread. But if he asked for bread, the man could not give him a stone. So let's be specific. Even though there are generic promises, be specific when you ask. You know, ask the Lord specifically rather than just say, Lord, bless me. You know, The Lord has already blessed us. We are told that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what is it you want? Ask Him. Specific about it. So, it's a generic promise, but we can use it specifically. Again, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. He said, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, I mean, I'm covering what I call generic, all-encompassing promises now. If any two of you shall agree as touching anything, my goodness, that you shall ask. So I shall be done of them of my Father. Why? Because God loves unity. Loves a unity. You know, He demonstrated this from the beginning. You know, when He created man, He made them male and female. He wanted them to be united, to walk together. This is the thing. You know, marriage is a demonstration of that ministry of unity. That's what God wanted from the beginning. Show how you can walk together. Same thing. All you got to do, find somebody that will believe God with you and agree with you on the thing that you are believing God for. It's a powerful promise, which means, well, don't share your prayer request with somebody who doesn't share your faith or your passion about that thing, because it's not going to work. You need somebody who agrees with you and believes along with you. And it's about power. One of you alone by yourself, you chase 1,000. The two of you come together, you put 10,000 to flight. Not even chasing them around this time. They'll flee from you. But you got to find someone that has some real faith. Matthew 18 and 19 tells you that. And you can use it literally speaking. If you just agree, well, the Lord said, I will do it. Again, Matthew 21 and 22. More powerful promises that cover anything. He said, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, that's all things. That's not some things. Well, you're all things. You ask, if you believe, you will receive. Now, of course, there are some caveats to these things, right? The caveat is Lamentation 3, which I often tell people that, look, you cannot ask something that the Lord has not commanded and expect that it will just be granted when it's against His word. You know, Lamentation 3:37 tells you, who is it that saith, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So, in our asking, we must line it up with the word of God. Okay. But within the domain of the word of God, the domain of His will, ask anything, He said. Praise God. It's powerful stuff. But you must believe. That's the key thing. If you ask believing, you shall receive. Whether it is done immediately or not, you will receive. It's what He said. In fact, the way Jesus put it out there, He said, well, you know, you ask at the time of prayer, but the answer may come later. You know, He said it in Mark 11:24. He said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, so you believe. At the time you pray is when you believe. You know, put your faith into action. Faith is now. Believing and praying and believing. The answer may come later. He said, well, and ye shall have them. Well, ye shall have them could be later. But at the time of believing, at the time of prayer, you must believe. And you keep on believing. You know, I've often said that faith sees the promises of God as afar off. Believing gets you there. Now, faith is a powerful thing. It will see, you know, what is yet future as already here. That's faith. But, you know, you physically get there by keeping on believing. You gotta keep on believing. That's how you get there. And sometimes we are believing, but along the way, we are complaining. You know, people do that all the time. Believing, but they are complaining. And they're like this yo-yo thing, you know. One day they are believing strong, the next day they're whining and complaining. You know, I'm like, look, make up your mind already. Believe the Lord. Stay right there with it. And don't let the devil shake you. Don't have shaky mind. Stay with it. If you have shaky mind, you cannot obtain anything from the Lord. Stay right there. Mark 9:23 tells you all things. You know, how many times did Jesus say all things? All things in Matthew 21:22. And what things soever you desire, that same all things. Mark 11:24. Now in Mark 9:23, all things are possible. There's no such thing. Impossible is nothing. There is no such thing as impossible with God. We know that. But also with you, if you have faith. You know, all things are possible to him that believeth. Try that sometime. You'll be glad you did. Believe God for the seemingly impossible thing. And believe God for it. Dare to believe. You know, this believing thing, you can't fool God. You can fool yourself or fool somebody else. You can't fool God. You can't even fool the angels. They know whether you believe or you don't believe. You know, if you believe, you will speak the word of God out of your mouth without doubting it. And that's what Jesus said. He said, if you are saved, in Mark 11:23, to this mountain, you know, be thou removed and cast to yonder place. And you say it. And I said, well, don't doubt it now. The moment you doubt it, you have weakened that word. Don't doubt it. Stay right there with it. Believe it in your heart that what you said will come to pass. Even as you said it, well, then he said you shall have whatever you said. And that's powerful stuff. You know, that's why I call it all encompassing promises. It's powerful stuff. Now let's look at some more. John 14 verses 13 to 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. How many times is he going to tell you? Well, that will I do. I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, you ask of the Father something in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Son, you will do it. You know, and then say, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, then why are you not asking in his name and believing God? Praise God. Now, remember, though, that I've often taught that some promises have conditions. Make sure you understand the conditions. You know, some promises might say, if such and such, then such and such. I'll give you one such. It's a generic, all-encompassing promise. It's a global thing. It covers everything, but it has an if to it. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. So, we see that, you know, abiding in him and his words abiding in us, very, very critical. And if you know the word of God, you know, and you are in a constant relationship with the Holy Spirit, going through life, having the Holy Spirit guide you, you're walking in the light, well, you can practically ask anything and it shall be done. That's what Jesus is saying. Praise the Lord. Now, there are more things like that throughout the scriptures that Jesus has promised us. Now, we got to use them for ourselves. You know, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20, you know, so if you can think it, God can do it. And he can even do more than you can ask or think. Well, you know, if I get everything I can ask, let alone if I can just think it, And God can do it. That's powerful. That's powerful. So use it for yourself. But I want to bring out, you know, a little subtle secret in that verse. Everybody knows and quotes this Ephesians 3:20, but I want to bring out some part that we always leave out. I'll bring that out today. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's where we usually stop. But let's read the rest of it. According to the power that worketh in us. Well, that power, you know, the degree to which that power works on you, the degree to which you walk with God, is the degree to which you know the word of God. Knowledge is key, even in this thing. If you don't know what was promised, I've often said, it's not a promise to you, because you didn't even know that it was promised. You know, if somebody made a promise, something that you would have, and you didn't even, were not there or listening to it, or you didn't hear that they promised it, how do you know it's a promise? It's not a promise if you didn't know it. So knowledge is key, and we got to know it. And the comprehension is key with that knowledge. The example I usually give here is little children. The capacity of their thinking. This is according to the power that worketh in them. The capacity. When they are little, a quarter might make their day. You give them a quarter. They are so excited because they can't even think beyond that. You know, and that's the level that they have. So if they ask for a quarter and you give them two quarters, you have exceeded their expectation. But, you know, two quarters, but that's all they can think. That's the level of their thinking. You know, so someday they learn that, well, actually, I can ask for a dollar. Well, okay. I ask for a dollar, you give them $2. I say, oh my goodness. They're elated. But it's according to the power. It's according to the level. They cannot think at that level to even ask you for $100 because they don't even know that $100 exists. So, see, that's how it works. You know, limited to the capacity of your understanding. That's how we're limited. Faith and understanding and comprehension, they all work together. And also, you're limited by the capacity of your vision. I mean, how much can you think? And how much can you see? God himself, he did a lot of things by imagination. In the beginning, we saw that he imagined how the earth should be. I don't like it to be dark, so cut out the light. And he did. Well, he imagined the seas bringing forth things. He called the seas first. Then he called the other things forth. I mean, everything that he saw in his mind, called it out. And it was so. And he gave the principle to Abraham and said the same thing to him. He showed us this principle. You got to see it first in your mind or with your eye of faith. And then he said, I will do it. You know, so this is the story that we read with, you know, Genesis 13, Lot and Abraham after they separated. Guess what the Lord said to Abraham? Genesis 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was departed from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are. You know, but you got to look around you. You got to see. He said, look northward, look southward, look eastward and westward. Look in every direction. Those are the four cardinal directions. Look in every direction. For all the land that you see, that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. We talked about passing it on from father to the children. Well, but first you got to see it. Now, so with this, we see that Abraham had to position himself to see more in order to get more. Because he said, all that you see is what I will give you. Now, what does that mean? Well, in comprehension, it means what you can understand concerning the word of God. That's what you can get, the enlightenment that you have. That's why Jesus said in John 8 and 32, you shall know the truth, and that truth shall make you free. But first, you got to know that truth. He cannot make you free if you don't know it. You know? So, now, think big. Because our God is big. You know, well, you can't really think bigger, too much bigger than your capacity. You know, some people have the capacity. Let me just use illustration. Now, this is not trying to be carnal, but I just want to use illustration. You know, let's say you want to buy a car. You know, some people would think that if you spend $10,000 on a car, that's too much. Because that's their level. So they will look for a car that costs about $6,000 or $7,000. Because, you know, if they heard that somebody paid $10,000, say, my goodness, how can they pay $10,000 for a car? You know, because they can't imagine that. Okay. You know, I'm not knocking that, but that's just the way it is. Another person thinks that, well, you know, I can spend about $30,000 or $40,000 for the car. Now, the person that was trying to buy the 10,000 car that thought 10,000 was too much, what do you think they're going to think when they hear that somebody's trying to buy a car for 30,000 or 40,000? They're going to think it's a waste. Why in the world would you spend, you know, 30,000 or 40,000 for a car? Well, okay. And on and on and on, you know. You know, but that person that feels comfortable with the $30,000 or $40,000 range, if they heard and somebody paid $80,000 for a car, they're like, they're crazy. They're out of their mind. How could you possibly spend $80,000 for a car? You know, and on and on. Yet, you know, there are cars that cost $300,000 and even more. You know, you can just get the point. And at each level where you are, you know, some other things seem out of range because, you know, that's the capacity of your mind. It seems out of range. You know, now, I'm not saying that you should stretch your neck and go and kill yourself to go get into debt to buy something that you can't afford. I'm just illustrating a point. Our mind is strained to the capacity of our comprehension. Well, if you believe that God can do all things, then you believe God for all things. You know? If you believe that God can only heal certain types of sicknesses and he can't heal others, well, then, you know, when you have those type of sicknesses that you believe that he can heal, then you're going to believe God. When you're faced with the others where you think that he can't do it, then you're not going to believe God for it. You know, if you don't believe that God can raise the dead, then, you know, you're not going to believe when that happens. You know, or if you believe that God can raise the dead, but you don't think he's going to do it in your particular situation, God forbid, then, well, then it's not going to happen. I mean, so this is how scriptures work. You must believe the word of God. Not only that God is going to do it. Not only that God is capable of doing it, but that he is going to do it. Hallelujah. You know, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They said, well, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us and he will deliver us. Praise God. And even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. But we know he will. So they knew he could deliver them. But they also, that's being persuaded that God is able. But they also embraced the fact that he actually is going to do it for their situation. And I've talked about that, the faith specs. Many of you have heard that many times. You must believe that God is able to do it. You must also embrace it for your particular situation that he's actually going to do it. Don't be like Martha. You know, Martha believed that God will raise the dead. Jesus said, well, do you believe that your brother will rise again? She said, well, yeah. I know he will rise in the resurrection. Because that was her belief system. They've been teaching her. She's been listening to the Pharisees and all those people. Those people believe in the resurrection, so they've been teaching it. But nobody actually believed that God can raise the dead now. You know? So she said, well, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. He said, of course. He will rise again in the resurrection. Jesus said, I'm not talking about resurrection. I am the resurrection. I'm in the now. I'm talking right now. She was scratching her head. She couldn't understand what he was talking about, you know. But, you know, the grace of God, you know, prevailed anyway, because God wanted to show the disciples something, you know. But she couldn't figure out, you know, that God could do it, that Jesus could do it in the now. So, well, yeah, I know he's coming out of that grave. In fact, I've heard you say it, that I will raise him up at the last day. So in her mind, she's like, well, you know, I know he's coming out of there someday. But Jesus was talking about today. That's the difference in being persuaded versus embracing it for the moment. So these are powerful promises that you can use for yourself. I'm going to wrap up this lesson here. I wanted to be short. I did a quick review, and also I threw in some more promises. And look, nobody can exhaust. If you spend months, maybe you can find all the promises of God in the scriptures. But how many do you really need? There are some generic ones I've given you here today that cover any situation. But if you can find five, see, one time, you know, the Lord said, well, if I can find 10 people in there, I will spare the place. Well, if you can find five promises, then you've done your research. Why do I say five? It's not a doctrine. I'm just saying, spend your time to find some promises. You know, David, he found five smooth stones of the brook. That's kind of like the promises of God. There's got to be at least five promises concerning anything you're believing for. Today, I've already read about 10 or 12 that cover anything. You know, and then you can find some more promises, throw them in there. And then you take your sling, which is your faith, your sling along with those stones. You're going to catapult those promises by your faith. You're going to use your faith as your sling. You're going to use those promises, and you're going to hurl them at the devil, that Goliath, that situation that's in front of you. And it's coming down. Come crashing down like that Goliath did. But you got to find some promises. You got to use your faith. You come against these things. So we've given ourselves a lot of ammunition here. All these scriptures, promises that we've been doing for a week now. You know, and when it comes to your children, it's the same thing. Look for the promises that we've talked about over the last few days, even for the ones that are wayward. Promises such as Jeremiah, you know, 31, where the Lord was talking about your children, you know, that may have gone wayward, that he's going to bring them back. You look for those promises. Verses 16 and 17. Refrain thy voice from weeping, and thy eyes from tears. Thy walk shall be rewarded, and the Lord will bring them back from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thy end, said the Lord, that thy children, so he was talking about children, are coming again to their own border. You take that. And you look at all the promises of deliverance for your children, you know, Proverbs 11, 25, and all these things, you know, that we covered over the last few days, you know, and you hang on to them, and you use them, you call those promises over your children. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord, there's so many things that he has promised for us, and we got to believe the Lord and use these promises for ourselves. You know, so how many things can the Lord do for you? Well, it's as much as you can believe. You know, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Proverbs 11, 21. You know, I think I might have said 25, but that's what I meant. Proverbs 11, 21. Seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You know, your children are the heritage of the Lord. You know, Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4. You will be increased, you and your children more and more. Psalm 115, verse 14. And on and on and on. You know, the children of the righteous are blessed after him. Proverbs chapter 12, 20, verse 7. go back to these things that we have read over the last few days and claim them for yourself. The Lord will contend with those that contend with you and will save your children. Isaiah 49 verse 25. You know, all your children shall be taught of the Lord. Isaiah 54 verse 13. See, your seed shall be mighty among the people. Isaiah 61 verse 9. On and on and on. I mean, scriptures are replete with all these promises. So, having therefore these promises, well, what should we do? Second Corinthians gives us a summary of what do we do when we have these incredible promises. Let me read it to you and we'll close here. Second Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Having therefore, dearly beloved, these promises that we've been talking about for the last several days, what should we do then, dearly beloved? Well, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You know, this is how we become partakers of the divine nature with these promises. God has called us his children. And let's act like his children. Praise the Lord. Don't act like anything different. You know, be a child of your father. The Lord can stick out his chair and say, yeah, that's my son. That's my daughter. Yeah. You know, be that of Christ. Can he do that of us? You know, that's the thing. He did that of Abraham too. He said, well, I know him. He's going to command and order his house after me. Can the Lord say that of you? And we challenged the man in this house over the last few days. Or can God say those things of you? That you, he knows that you will be the priest in your house. And you'll be the prophet too. Yeah, prophet is the one that hears from God. You know, and priest is the one that stands in the gap. I mean, can you be these things? King also, you know, triple crown ministry. You know, it's your domain. Let anybody come in there and take anything that's yours. It's your territory. You know, bring your influence. The king brings his influence into his kingdom. Bring your influence into your family, into your children's lives. Order them in the way of the Lord. Rule your children, the Bible says, with gravity. Rule them with sobriety and everything. Don't mess around with, you know, stuff. Correct your children. They're doing the wrong thing. If you don't, God doesn't like them. Eli didn't correct his children and didn't end well. You know, so correct our children. Praise the Lord. And God bless everybody. That's my review today. I want to leave plenty of time in today's lesson, close to the next 2 hours. It's just a few minutes after our first hour here. Saturdays, we can go longer. So I'm going to leave time, you know, anybody, share anything, you know, over these things throughout the week. Maybe you didn't have time. And if you have testimonies, testimonies also help. They're great. They help us, you know. I mean, they help us. We believe that God can use the testimonies of the other, of others to help you. Here's a testimony. I heard this in the trip that we went to in Canada the other day, last weekend. And I said this, you know, maybe on Wednesday or something, but I don't know if you are here to hear it. The two people that we went to celebrate their wedding renewal, 15 years, they shared their story. Powerful story. I knew only part of it before, but I heard some part that I didn't know before. And it's a good lesson for people who might be in that situation. And here is the deal. In the first part of their marriage, like most people, it was rocky roads. They didn't see eye to eye. Everything didn't go right. At those times, neither of them were believers. You know, one came from a Muslim background, the wife did. The other one, well, just didn't believe anything. You know, so, yeah, marriage was having all kinds of problems. And at one point in time, they actually separated. This is the part I didn't know. I knew they had problems, but I didn't know this part. They actually separated for months, you know. And it happened that something happened. God allowed. The devil was trying to take out the life of the brother. His brother Olu. He got into a ghastly accident. You know, and he lost his license for a while. But God used that thing because, you know, he couldn't find a way to, because at that time they were figuring out who's going to take the kids to school and all that. You know, but the best part of it was because it was difficult for him to do his part. The wife, she's the best part of the testimony. Now, they were not believers even at this time. But the wife said, okay, well, why don't you move back home, you know, so that we can figure out these logistics. You know, it's a beautiful testimony. And shaky mind at first whether or not this will work, but he came home because the woman gave the man a chance, another chance. She wasn't actually thinking at that moment, that things will work out well for them. She was just doing it for the sake of the logistics of, I'll take the children to school, you know, can use my car, this and this. So, well, one thing led to another. By the time he moved back, they started relating again, and they found Christ. That's amazing. And when they found Christ, my goodness, each one did. And then together, they realized that, look, you know, our lives are meaningless without Christ. And they began to build a family together, or live their life as family together, based on the principles of Christ. It was a beautiful story. And that's when things actually started to come together. But the key thing was she gave the man another chance. And if she hadn't, today they're celebrating 15 years and they're rejoicing. It's beautiful. And but they went through that. A lot of people go through a lot of things in the early parts of their marriage. But if you can be forgiving or patient, things can actually turn around. It's a beautiful turnaround. And they both now are believing God, walking in the ways of the Lord and trying to be the best they can be. And the Lord is helping them. Praise God. It's a beautiful testimony. Testimonies like that can help. And, you know, there are other testimonies that came from the event. One person went to them afterwards and said to them, was a family man, that he is going to try, to be a better family man. Other people said, wow, you know, they need to give their life to Christ. But then now they are understanding the invitation to come to the marriage supper. I mean, all these things happened and this was because somebody gave a testimony and somebody, other person, myself, shared a very few words with people how they themselves can come to another wedding. Make sure that they have a seat on the table. There's a lot of testimonies. So if you have testimonies, today we'll take them and take your shares as well. That's one good thing about Saturday. We have a little more time. I'm going to wrap my segment here up with prayer. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for this session. Again, I'll cover some more of your promises, especially the ones that cover just about any situation. And the Bible says the word of God is beautiful for every situation. We thank you for these great and exceeding promises. They're precious. Pray, Lord, that you help us to anchor our faith in these promises and use them for our benefit. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. Commit the rest of the room into your hands, or the rest of the shares and the testimonies. That the name of the Lord alone will always be glorified. We give you all honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.